Hard Mark Podcast.
Shrimp on the barbie. Shrimp on the barbie.
Do you respect that?
That's corruption.
I could make a fake snake.
You not pee in the pool. You not pee
on the barbie. All of myself is clean.
Welcome to the Hard Mark Podcast, everybody. Rumpus Time is back. My name is Eric Donaldson. The purpose of Rumpus Time is to explore the mind of the weird and wonderful star of our program. He is the artist formerly known as the 50...
Ooh, ouch.
That doesn't bode well. Dad Brain, the artist formerly known as the man of 54,097 compliments, the EVP of Soul Skiing Development, the maitre d' of Matt Drama, the Tampa Bay Topsider, the living painting, the talent. Don't invite him to your tiki party because he's got a sleepy body. Flying Ryan Murphy.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. Have there been more tiki parties?
Roll that one in there that quickly with a couple of words. That was nice.
Thank yeah, you. A sleepy body. It kind of rhymes with tiki party. Have you been invited to any other tiki parties since the last one?
Many.
Okay, good.
But I'm very tired, you know, so I go to bed. You know, I'm an old guy, Eric. I'm an old guy. Now.
Is that why you requested a 3:30 start time here today? Because you got to make that 7 o'clock bedtime.
I have rice to make and chicken. And then I'm going to go to bed at like 7:30, maybe 8.
Real quick aside that like probably very few, if anyone, cares about, how do you de-thaw your chicken, Ryan?
This is a great question, Eric. This is a great question.
This is why the Markomaniacs come here, for the hard-hitting de-thaw questions.
So I've had an issue, right? I've had chicken sitting in my freezer for over a month.
Okay.
All right. And this is a little like, you know, kind of pre your question, but like,
please, yes.
I've had issues. Like if I want to get in that chicken, I got to cut it with a knife. And here's what happens. You end up cutting it's Costco packs it where they're really close. So you end up cutting the chicken a little bit and then you try to like de-thaw it and the chicken juice just leaks out.
Question.
You got it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are these the breasts? Are these like the Foster Farm
chicken breasts?
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Like
I'm with
six
you.
Six pack of like two. And yeah.
Okay.
Like, you know, it's only like $36 now, you know,
in this economy, right? Mm.
Still, somehow, that's a better deal. Like, sure. But whatever. That's not my point. Mm-hmm. So it's really difficult. It's really annoying. So I just left them in the freezer. I was like, fuck it. I'm just not eating chicken. I started eating steak instead, you know, like, so what I did is I bought a pair of scissors on Amazon, cut those things up. And all I do, I cut them up into six packs. And so I make my chicken, and then I just throw the next one in the fridge the night before on like a board. So if it, you know, if there's any leakage, it catches it. Like,
as you do.
There's not. But like, I just throw it on a board and I let it defrost for, I don't know, 16 hours. And then, even if it's a little bit like, you can throw it in some water, like some like cold water to defrost it. But like, if it's a little bit like, if it's a little bit frozen, the air fryer is good. Or the oven, you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
What if I told you?
Don't panic when it's a little bit frozen.
Yeah, okay? Don't panic, everyone. Remain calm.
It's all right. It's okay. If you defrost it for more than 12 hours, you're going to be fine. Like, cook it maybe a couple extra minutes longer, and you're all good.
I already sent Ryan a reminder to check out Your Honor on Showtime, but I'm going to send you another thing. What if I told you there was such a thing as a de-thawing board, like a de-thawing little thing that you can put your meat on, chicken, steak, etc.
Really?
And within, say, 4 hours, generally speaking, it will be completely de-thawed.
Oh, well, how much is that thing?
What if I told you, Ryan, you could get it all for the low price?
3 monthly payments.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let's see. I'll have to look. Let's see. De-thawing tray. Because I have
Eric,
one.
This is the thing. Eric, this is the thing. Like you've said a great thing, but it totally depends on the price. Like, I could just wait 12 hours. Or if this is, like, you know, a really good price, I think it's a great deal. But it has to be a great price. This is price.
There appears to be different sizes, which does impact the price. It seems like, on average, these are around $20.
That's not terrible. That's not terrible. I think it's a good price for that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's I made the switch maybe a year or so ago, but it is a
You did. This is a real thing. This is not a hype. I thought this was like a fake thing.
No. This is all real, because I was thinking like, oh, he's a busy guy. Does he plan ahead enough to like get the chicken dethawed? Because that's a whole rigmarole. I used to be like you, but then I got the dethawing tray and my life's never.
No. So is it just like, do you close it? Do you put the chicken or the meat in, you close it? Or how's it, what does it look like? Do you send it to me? I don't have my phone.
I did not send it to you yet. I can't. Oh, okay. This is not necessarily the one that I have. This is just a sample one. But if you just search on Amazon for a dethawing tray, you'll find plenty of similar products out here. So let me do you a solid here. Here you go.
Pretty solid. Yeah. No, I think that's a great $20 for something like that. Like, hell yeah. Like, I think you don't need, like, again, generally you can eat that. But if you're in a crunch, you know.
Yeah. four-hour as long as you know by like lunchtime, like, oh, I'm gonna want chicken, and it can be sooner. It doesn't necessarily, like, it can be shorter than 4 hours. We're just like the cuts of meat that you get from a Costco usually pretty thick, so like the big thick chicken breasts usually are going to be de-thawed by the 4 hour mark, give or take.
You plug this thing in?
No, it's literally just like an aluminum tray.
Well, how does it work?
I don't know. Fucking magic, dog. I don't know. Fucking YouTube it. I'm not sure how it works. I just know that it does.
You just set your chicken on it, like, in a bag?
I just put it on the counter.
You put this on a counter. Wait, I want to. So you put the chicken on this or like under?
Yes, on it, on top of it. The meat has to be resting on top of the tray.
And not in a package, like just the meat on it, right?
Correct. Bare skin meat on the tray.
It seems like it would only defrost like maybe half of it, like one side. Like, would you flip it?
You don't even need to flip it. It goes all the way
through. You don't even need to flip it. This thing is incredible.
Apparently, I need to get into infomercials, because this is exactly the banter that we need on late night television.
that's wild, Eric. I'm just a little like, I'm blown away. And you're saying it works. You've used it. Like, you can.
This must cost a fortune, Eric. No, like, I use it like anytime that I have, like, I do the Costco frozen chicken breasts. And so, like, my wife is notorious for like 3-4 o'clock springing on me, like, what if we do chicken? And it's like, okay, that's not gonna work. But like around lunchtime, around noon, I'll be like, hey, would you want like chicken tonight? Oh, sure. Okay, great. I'll plop out the little the platform, the tray, put the chicken on it, and by the time I get ready to start cooking dinner, we've got some de-thawed chicken.
And again, this is just a standalone. It's not plugged in. It just sits. It's a thing that just defrosts chicken.
Right. So,
I'm still trying to wrap my brain.
I can tell that you are worried that I'm going to give you the air fryer sales pitch where I'm omitting key pieces of information here. I'm not going to do that to you, Ryan.
That's not what I did.
You kind of did. You don't need seasoning at all, Eric.
We'll move on from this. This is too long on top, but like, go on. Like, I want to know this like thing. Yeah.
It does not require, it doesn't even use electricity. There's no electricity involved at all. It is literally.
Solar power? Did Matt Peters sell you some solar powered chicken defroster? Like,
no, I don't know how it works. I'm sure one of our listeners who are smarter than me could tell you how it works. But because of the material, it's like, I guess it's technically metal. Because of the material of the tray, that when it's in contact with the meat, chicken, steak, etc., it just automatically de-thaws the whole thing. So as far as like the parts to this, it's really three parts, but it's technically just like two. So you have like your bottom tray to catch all the meat, like frost, juice, runoff stuff, right? Sure. Yeah, and then you've got the tray itself, which is doing the de-thawing. And then mine has little rubber feet just to make sure that the tray is elevated from the plastic catcher tray at the bottom. And that's it. It doesn't plug in.
This doesn't make any fucking sense.
I just used it 2 days ago to de-thaw some
steaks. I believe you.
That were in the freezer for like probably a year. I put them on there for 4 hours. And guess what? Great cast iron steaks were cooked
in
the
Thompson House. Yeah, man. I'm happy for you. My brain is like, I'm trying to figure, but like, hey, Eric, I believe you, and I think I might buy one myself just to like check it out, because I'm like, now I'm curious as fuck. Like,
I highly recommend it. If you've ever been in the spot where you're like, oh shit, I forgot to put the chicken in the fridge last 100%, night.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This
and you're saying, is it in 4 hours, is it fully defrosted? Like, there's no, like, iciness. It's fully defrosted. So, like, if you put it on for maybe 2 hours, you could get a partial defrost? Like, is that kind of what it...
It's slowly working its way up from the bottom, from the side that's touching the tray. And within, again, I'm just rounding. I'm sure that there would be a thick cut of meat that within 4 hours it wouldn't be fully defrosted, but it'd be pretty much fully defrosted. But I've never had an issue. Like, as long as I'm catching it around noon, 11 o'clock noon, I'm good by the time dinner rolls around.
I have one more question about this thing.
Yes, please.
How long have you had it?
I was trying to look at my order history on Amazon to figure that out. Maybe like a year and a half to 2 years. Because I was in the same boat, right? I had bought a bunch of these like reusable plastic bags that I was like submerging into water to try and like dethaw my stuff.
Yeah.
And like those, it was gross cleaning them. Gross. Water would seep in. And I was just like, there's got to be a better way. And so I was...
Like, there's a big X on your, like, thing there.
Right. I think I was talking to my mother-in-law about this. She's like, oh, you know, they make trays that are, like, de-thawing trays that you can put your meat on. I was like, what? And I bought it, and you know what? It works pretty damn good.
Game changer, Eric. This is a real game changer right here. And this, you know what this would be? I will say I will buy one for myself because I like it. But this would be a great like white elephant gift, you know? It's like $20 and like everyone's like, what the fuck is this? Like, you know,
do you think
like,
everyone's in the same boat as us that no one's heard of this product until now? Or are we just this far behind the curve?
Hey, Christmas folks. I wish we were like, we should talk to these people, Eric. We're putting this product out there, you know? Like, and
we are open to sponsorship.
Some residuals.
If you are making this tray, this I think it's aluminum. Should I double check that it's aluminum? Defrosting tray for meat, yada yada yada. Da, da, da. What's it made out of? It doesn't say. It's space age technology, probably.
It's just I'm still trying to figure it out, but like
oh, and now this is a huge deal. But just that little cherry on top of the sundae, dishwasher safe.
Oh, that is a big deal, Eric. That is a big deal. All right, you're throwing raw chicken on that thing. I don't want to like scrub. I want that in the dishwasher. You know, like that's a big deal. All right, Eric, I'm sold. I like it. I'm surprised it took you this long to tell me that this thing exists. But hey, here we are, and now I know, and I'm gonna make things happen with this. Someone's gonna get this as a present too. Like,
okay, well, yeah. Let me know. I'm sure by the time we record next time around, you will have purchased this. This doesn't. You sound much more excited about this than the muffaletta. So I feel like this is actually gonna happen.
I love this. I want to. I'm curious about it. I love it. I love the concept, and I'm just now I can't stop thinking about it. So I'm gonna be this whole podcast. I'm gonna be thinking about like defrosting chicken.
Well, I'm going to need your full attention for at least another hour and a half, Ryan. But to take us from the high of all highs of an invention, an incredible space age technology that you had no idea about, I don't want to bum you out, Ryan. I don't want to upset you.
Yeah.
Because I know how much you hate stolen valor.
Stolen valor. Have we ever discussed this on this program?
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure no.
Okay. I love Stolen Valor. I fucking love it. So
that's the whole statement. I fucking love Stolen Valor.
I used to stay up like super late watching Stolen Valor videos. Like just that's so like fucking awkward. And it was so like I love anything like cringy, like it, that I'm not involved in. If I'm involved in the cringies, I hate it because it sucks. But if I watch other people do it, I'm like, oh fuck, this is like great to watch. Like, so
completely reasonable. Well, in this scenario that I'm presenting, it's not necessarily a military situation. Someone has stolen your valor.
Oh, me.
Yes, you.
Do I have valor?
You are filled head to toe. You are brimming. You're overflowing with valor.
Really?
From where I sit.
What do they steal?
Well, I think it's better if I show you than if I tell you, Ryan. So I've got a YouTube little clip here. I'm going to send it your way right now.
Right.
The Gap Company has stolen your valor.
They stole my valor.
They stole your valor. They stepped on your toes something fierce. So allow me to post this in the chat. Give me a moment as you kind of pull it up and let me know what you think. I'll keep quiet as
Do you want me to just
Yeah.
Is this an ad?
This is a commercial. It's a Gap company commercial.
I was hearing it just an ad. Okay,
this is
YouTube Premium. Should be getting fucking ads.
Okay, I'll be quiet while as you
want. You just want me to play it?
Yes,
ready?
Please.
Okay, all right. Cool pants. Pants.
Love to hear it. Hard to own it. The overthinking begins and bingo bango. You know what? Just own it. Thanks. They're Old Navy.
Brilliant.
Oh, good.
You don't get it?
What am I missing here?
Clearly, some listener, some Markomaniac, some mischievous Markomaniac out there listened to us. The man previously known as the man of 54,097 compliments. Way, way back when we originally christened you with that name, the main takeaway that we all had was when you get a compliment, Ryan, you just got to own it. You just got to own the compliment. There's no reason to compliment back. You just have to accept hard the compliment. Okay. And I feel like Natasha, and I misspoke earlier. It's not Gap, it's Old Navy. The Old Navy company stole your whole motif when it comes to accepting the compliment and used it for their ad with Natasha Lyonne.
Let me watch it again.
Please.
Let me watch it again. Please. I thought she was being a little like, a little modest, a little like, but like, let me watch it again.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. All right, I see it now.
They stole your valor, Ryan.
First. I did not see the first one. I was like, well, but okay, you got to own it. That's right.
Yeah. They took your whole philosophy about compliments, which, to the best of my knowledge, no one else has ever said out loud, and they used it for this Old Navy commercial.
I should be getting residuals on this too. There.
You should at least be getting pixie pants. And if nothing else.
I hate those pants.
Let me look at these pants. Oh, here we go. I'm not in love with the pants. They're a little high waisted.
I don't. Yeah, pants is a new thing now, and it's just I don't.
Hold on. Okay, did you just say pants are a new thing?
I said. Okay, you're there. Okay, you're. So I said. What I said, but I just think pants are getting out of control. Right? You know,
so true.
Yeah.
Preach, brother. Pants are getting. You're talking about too many forms of pants. Is that what you're getting at?
There's just pants are just a lot to like handle, like you know, to watch. And I just can't handle all this new pants stuff. Like I'm a back in the day 2008 pants guy. You know, like. And now pants come in so many different styles. I'm like, I'm just getting old, Eric. I'm getting old and out of touch with the things. And that's fun. But it's just too much pants for me.
I feel like I just learned what boot cut even means.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know what it means.
It's it's a wider hole at the bottom of the leg accommodate for boots. And I feel like for years I was just like, I'm going to buy boot cut because that's what you do.
100%.
I never wear boots.
I buy boot cut pants, and I'm just like they just fit, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I get it. Like I don't know, Eric. I'll tell you a story about my favorite pants.
You're on fire today, friend.
I had this, and I still think about these pants to this day. It's like it's been like 17 years, you know. Like, and they were just these pants that, like, I mean, they were perfect around. You know, my crotchal region, you know, my crotch area.
You mean comfort wise or like showcasing what you got?
Not showcasing what I had, but there's sometimes when you wear pants, you can't find like the nice front look, you know, like the pants just suck. It's either too long, too short, too wide, too small.
Constant bulge.
And then also you got to throw color in there, you know, like the color has to be right. Mm-hmm. And then also the ass, you know, like.
Sure.
Just a perfect, it was literally the most perfect pair of pants that you could, and I've never in my life been able to recreate it. I've never had a pair of pants that I felt like that. I walked around the most confident motherfucker like I've ever been in my life, and now I can't find pants like that.
Do you know who made those pants?
It was Levi's. They're Levi's.
Okay.
I just don't know I don't know the number. And it's a fit, it's a style, it's a color, and like I just think it all came together, you know, at one point, and now I've never seen it again.
They perfected the pant, and then you know what? They just
like I said, I mean, if I'm 33 years old and this happened, oh my god, like 18 almost, yeah, like I mean, that's crazy. Like, you can't find pants. Like that just doesn't make any sense. But
the pants that got away. Do you still have my favorite pair of sunglasses I've ever owned? Or did you lose those?
Dude, I'm pretty sure they're rats. I'm pretty sure they're around. I've had them. They're not even in my car. Like, I have several pairs of people sunglasses now. So you're not the only one.
Well,
also, check this out. Better. Here's some headphones that just belong to a buddy of mine who left them here somehow. I just have people shit, you know? So I'm sorry, Eric. I can't keep track of your sunglasses that you gave to me or like, you know, left with me.
Not just my sunglasses, Ryan. My favorite pair of sunglasses.
Favorite pair of sunglasses.
But I. So this is the difference between young man and old man shit. I totally get where you're coming from with the whole pants thing. But like me, the moment you stole my sunglasses, I bought the exact same pair of sunglasses again because I needed. And I have like three pairs. I got one pair in my wife's car, one in my car, and then a third just lingering about somewhere.
Yeah.
And a fourth at your fucking house.
I'm glad you re-upped, but sunglasses are tough because they get lost very easily. You know, like I don't buy expensive sunglasses. Well, the one time I did, I lost like $250 sunglasses gone within 2 months. I was like, I'm never doing that again. Like,
this, yeah,
like I'm buying cheap sunglasses because
that is the play.
Yeah.
We were talking before we started recording about South Park. Specifically, we were watching rewatching the wrestling episode of South Park. Now that we've got, you know, a slightly different perspective on things.
Yeah.
I think I texted you this. I don't know that I got a response. You need to go to Casa Bonita while you're living in Denver.
Mm. Did I not respond?
I don't know. Maybe you did. I can't recall. I heard that their reservations go out months for Casa Bonita.
I don't think I'll be in Denver long enough to make that reservation. Like,
Ryan, you gotta go to Casa Bonita. Like one of the most legendary episodes of South Park was the Casa Bonita episode.
Eric, I'm not disagreeing here. Okay, not disagreeing. And I think the creators like reopened this restaurant. Yeah, I want to see some diving off the rocks. You know? Like,
I'm gonna need some dethawing tray levels of enthusiasm about Casa Bonita right now.
I will look into this. Okay?
Oh, that's the same answer we got about Mufaletas, Ryan. That's a Mufaleta response if I've ever heard one.
After I play with my defrosting pan for 2 months, I will look into this. You
know? What you do in the privacy of your home is your business. Okay, well, yeah. No, I'm just for posterity's sake, it should happen.
I heard they underpay their employees. I heard they were like striking
since the South Park guys bought it.
No, since it opened, like that's the word out here. Like,
you've got the inside scoop. I had heard that they were doing away with tipping and they were paying people more, but maybe the tipping offset like didn't account for it.
That's what I heard. Maybe it's the divers who are upset; they don't get tips.
You know? That's all the more reason to go before it all shuts down and goes to shit, Ryan.
We'll figure it out. I'll give you some. Hey, the next podcast, I'll give you some more info. I'll see where I'm at with the reservation. I'll see what I can do.
Please. I'll make the reservation for you if that helps. I've got your phone number and everything. I've got all the contact details.
Pay for dinner too. You know?
I'm not paying for your fucking... Why would I pay for your experience at one of the greatest restaurants in Colorado?
All the podcast money is flowing in. I think you could like put it to cost. It'd be a great story. Like, you know, like...
With that in mind, buy a shirt at the Hardmark merch shop. Available on our link tree. But finance Ryan's trip to Casa Bonita, apparently. Okay, we should rank. We've been talking a while. Yeah. Normally we get to the ranking sooner, but you know what? This is a free podcast, so and it's a free country too. So
it's a free country.
Blow it out your ass. So we're not you, Ryan. Anyone who disagrees with us getting to the ranking this week.
Anyone who disagrees with me.
Anyone who disagrees with my opinion, blow it out your ass. It's time for Ryan Ranks It.
A wave is like a twister.
And I've got a good one for you here, Ryan. I think you're going to like this little setup here. So by my count, Ryan, you have now lived in 3 states.
True.
Okay. All right. We have independent verification. So you have 3 states that you've actually lived in.
Yeah.
And there's 2 states that you've talked about very fondly as places that either you'd like to go to and visit or places that you would like to live in, those being California and Florida.
Okay. Yeah. No, I mean, you're not wrong. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Okay. Go ahead. I can see your gears are turning, and I think you're jumping like, to what
I know what people think when you say you want to move to Florida, you know? Okay.
Finally, people that agree with me.
Yeah, it's about fucking time.
I'm so sick of people asking and telling.
Okay, all right, go off.
Okay. Sorry. So I'm not going to go the conventional route. I know you're probably thinking, oh, Eric's going to have me rank those states. That is not the case. I'm not going to have you rank the states. What I am going to have you rank, there was a thing that came across my Reddit feed recently, and it was, I'll allow you to play coy. There is a website out there known as FetLife. FetLife.
Is this a dating app?
I don't think it's a dating app. I think it's a fetish-based website.
Okay.
For more niche fetish erotic content for people who are so inclined. FetLife put out a thing, a little map, if you will, an infographic map of all of the states within the United States and the fetish that state was disproportionately into.
Interesting.
So every state seemed to have a fetish that was like disproportionate compared to other states that people from that state were like searching for.
Okay, but did they use their own data, or is this like is this Pornhub data that they're pulling? Like, what data?
I believe this is their own data.
It's their own data. Okay, so that's fine. I just want. Okay, all right.
That's my understanding. Which I mean, like, I don't know what, like, how many.
Fair enough. I just want to know the source. That's fair.
Yeah, I believe it is from. Okay. In fact, here I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah.
The source is FetLife.
Okay.
So here's the actual title of this: most relatively popular FetLife kink for each state. And so then it says, based on how disproportionately users from that state like that kink when compared with other states. And this is,
disproportionately to other states.
Yes. So, like, one seems like disproportionately more popular than...
Right.
Okay. Yeah, others would be. So I thought we could go through the three states you've lived in and then the two that you have fantasies of living in. See what their preferred FetLife kinks would be and rank those kinks.
Okay. All right.
So we'll start with you.
This may or may not be my own personal kink.
Yeah, and you can rank them.
I'm not putting that out there. Maybe it is, maybe it's not, you know?
Have another beer or two, Ryan. we'll start with the state of your birth. You were born in Washington, right?
I was.
Okay. All right. I thought as much. I just, you know, sometimes people are transplants and they sneak
in.
No.
Born deep in Everett.
Were you really? I was born in the great city of Everett. We'll start with Washington. Again, Ryan's state of birth. Apparently, this is what I had to Google search. Apparently in Washington, the most disproportionately popular kink is claws.
What, can you give me some context behind that? Like,
so I had to Google it. Let me Google it actually right now too, and maybe I can send you a thing. But I think, like, so did you ever see, well, if I ever say a movie and ask Ryan did he see it, the answer is
I just
no.
Dropped that question. Yeah, I probably haven't seen it.
Yeah, but oh gosh, okay. Here we go. So I'm just gonna take you to all I did was Google search claws kink. And go to the image search.
It's no, you like, did go to image search. Did
yeah,
you, are
it's
you
like
on Bing or are you on Google.
For any normal people that have actually watched films before, if you think of like Catwoman in Batman Returns, like with the long nails, I think that's...
I know. Yeah. Okay.
So you can see some examples there. I just sent them to you.
This is okay. This is where like okay, Eric. This is a really interesting like. Topic you picked here. I like what you're doing, but like this is where I think like their data is just like this is like claws Washington. This doesn't make any sense. Like
maybe hey, we got a lot of wild animals out here, a lot of cougars, a lot of Sasquatch eye.
So one thing I will say is like I'm down to be scratched. You know, like I'm down to like get a little blood. You know, like if that's what happens. You know,
the guy who says you're not going to find out what my kinks are immediately, we find out exactly what his kink is.
I mean, it's just like I don't know if I'd want someone putting it. Like, actually, I don't know. Like, maybe I just never experienced this. So,
well,
like,
I'm gonna say
one
really quick.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's fine. Like, I enjoy a good back scratch. I've always maintained that if like instead of massage parlors, if there were scratch parlors, I would consider that, because I love a good scratch so much.
Like a tickle, like kind of scratch.
No, like a not like drawing blood, you pervert, but like a, you know, like a good scratch. Like sometimes, like I can't reach all parts of my back, so like having a good scratch is.
It just only seems that they'd be useful if you had an actual itch on your back, you know.
I don't need an itch on my back to enjoy a scratch. You don't like getting your back scratched?
I like getting my back rubbed. Not doesn't have to be scratched. Now that said, during like you know. When you're in the midst of things, right? Like, and you get the hands on the back and like grabbing at you, that's kind of hot. Like, you know, like the deep, like that. I like that, but I don't need a back scratch necessarily unless I have an itch.
Well, I guess the point I was going to make, I suppose, is equally applicable to both of our situations. My more innocent enjoying a good Baloo from Jungle Book style scratch versus you and your filthy pervert. Sex moves.
You said you wanted to go to a parlor and do this, yeah, Eric. All right,
a reputable scratch parlor, Ryan. But either way, my point being, I guess in theory, especially, I guess it is more applicable in your case because you talked about drawing blood. But like, you got to imagine that one of these like claw things are probably a little bit cleaner than the bottom of someone's fingernails. So
true. That's yeah. I mean. I don't know. I'm going to put this number three because I have nowhere else to put this right now. Like, I have to figure out what the rest of them are. I think it's weird that this is Washington's number one kink.
You're putting it three?
I'm just going to put it three right now. We'll see if it moves up or down. I don't know. Like, but I'm going to start at three. I'm not going to hate on it. I'm not going to love it, you know?
Okay, noted. The next one, this one I have to Google search right now because I'd never heard of this before.
Jesus, fuck. What kind of kinks are on this site? Like,
this is the only one that I was completely, completely unsure what it was. There weren't a lot of these that were on the list, but there were a handful. So this one is California.
Okay.
So California's top kink is, and I apologize if I'm mispronouncing this, decryphilia.
I don't know what decryphilia is.
Oh God! It
if I knew what that was, I would honestly fucking say I don't know what decryphilia is. So like,
man,
I don't even know how to spell it.
Google's trying to set me up for big problems because I just googled it and it was like, "Are you looking for necrophilia?" And it's like, "Fuck no, I'm not looking for necrophilia. I'm looking for dickrophilia."
I wouldn't be okay. All right, okay. That might be Nevada's number one king, necrophilia. You know?
Okay. So this, again, this is California. This actually has a Wikipedia article.
Okay.
It is a form of paraphilia. I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. In which one is aroused by tears or sobbing.
Oh, fuck. Like, again, this, I think this is really, like, it can, you have to take in the, like, what content are they, are you, like, I mean...
I think
why are they sad? Are they
okay, let's see. So one 2014 study interviewed 8 people with decryphilia, and 3 of them were also involved in BDSM.
Okay.
So it could be from like physical pain, it also could be emotional.
That's what I'm thinking. Like both of it, it's like this is probably a little bit fucked up one. Like,
yeah, probably.
And to call it like decryphilia, like this is like you said, it's probably tied into like some sort of BDSM, like pain or emotional pain. Like it's all good. I just think it's these.
Did we stumble into your kink? I think that's the.
We need to cross check these kinks with a Pornhub search thing. You know.
Okay. Figure out
but anyway, like no, it's fine, Eric. I like what you're doing here with your searches and stuff, but like. Okay. I'm gonna put this below. I'm just gonna put number 4 for now, and we'll see where it moves. Like I don't.
Oh, so you're putting decryphilia beneath claws?
Yeah, okay. For sure. Like, yeah. I mean, you're being a little disrespectful if you're being a decryphiliac. You know.
I mean, yeah. In theory, it could be consensual, but also could.
I'm not saying it's not consensual. I'm just saying like. I don't think there's any reason to put it above claws yet.
We've all talked about how much we love claws, Eric.
Yeah, maybe it earns its way back. You know, we'll see on this list. I don't know where it's going to end up. I'm just putting it there for now. Placeholders for this. You know.
The next one. We've actually talked about this next one before.
Okay.
Which I'd forgotten about until I had my wife. This was a conversation over dinner with my wife as I kind of revealed these five kinks, and we were kind of discussing them. And I, as I was talking to my wife, I realized, oh, Ryan and I have talked about this before. The Nevada, the top Nevada disproportionate kink, clowns.
Clown girl honk heaven,
Ryan.
I feel like you're fucking with me at this point. No. I feel like you're just completely fucking with me, and you just made a bunch of shit. And now I just feel fucked with Eric. All right, I'm about to be a decrophile. I'm crying, Eric. I don't know. Okay, don't tease me. There's no fucking way. Nevada is like probably the kink central of the U.S. Right?
Again, this is not like the most popular kink. This is disproportionate. I'm saying that.
Disproportionate to other states.
Yes. Higher than average compared to other states. Not that it's like the top kink in that state.
What is the top kink in that state?
I don't know. I haven't gone down that FetLife rabbit hole. But in case I just texted you the map, and you can't read ahead, but I just texted you the map just to prove
that
this is true.
What you're doing right now is a little bit like more professional and cleaner for a podcast than some of the real kinks that are tied up in here. So, but like, I mean, clowns, like for me, like I'm asking for like more context. Like, can I phone a friend to ask about this? I don't know. Like, I'd put it 5. I don't really like clowns at all. I don't know what they have to do with sex. Like,
you don't like clown girls.
Clown girls.
Clown girls
in clown suits.
So apparently, and I like, if you want to, okay, I just looked into this. I'm not saying you should, but if you go on TikTok, apparently clown girl honk heaven is a whole subgenre of TikTok.
Is there attractive women in there? Hold on, what's it called?
it's called Clown Girl Honk Heaven.
Honk Heaven.
Yes.
Is it like a brothel?
No, it's like not a hashtag, but it's like a like girls dress up like clowns.
Okay. All right. Here's an attractive looking girl.
Okay. What's she doing?
She's just in a clown suit, like. And she's attractive, like, you know, and like the suit fits her well, but like I don't know, like,
is she doing clown shit or what's she doing?
I think in order for this to get me real riled up, they would have to do some fucking really kinky clown shit, you know, and then I'd be like, all right, you know, like a hot girl in a clown suit doing some weird clown stuff could be a trap, but like
let's see, I'm going on to Reddit here, clown girl, yeah, it's just like girls dressed up like clowns, and apparently, that's the thing.
All right. I'm putting it number 5. I don't love this.
this doesn't spark joy.
I don't even think it's all that unique. It's just like, and I don't know why it's tied. Like this would be more like fit for, like, I don't know, like Florida or Washington. Like, I don't know.
What, clowns? Why clowns?
Well, why Nevada? Like, why would Nevada be a clown?
Because Nevada's a depraved state filled with prostitution.
You go on the strip. I have not seen one clown on the strip ever in my life.
That's why it's so kinky to them, because they never see it. If you see something all the time, like if you get those flyers for prostitutes all the time, well, now I'm desensitized to prostitutes. Guess what I'm not desensitized to? Walking the streets of Vegas. Clowns.
Right, right.
Think about it. You're not thinking clearly, Ryan. That's your problem. You're not thinking clearly. So clowns is number 5?
Clowns is number 5, yeah.
Any problems with that ranking, honk at Ryan. Don't honk at me. Next, Florida. Your spiritual home, in Florida, one might say.
Let's see if Florida can finally redeem itself with their kinks, you know?
Let's find out. I don't know if this is higher than normal in Tampa or what section of Florida. We just know.
I love Tampa Bay.
I know you do. And this is
I might be out there next year. I might be living in Tampa Bay.
We can only hope and dream. This is one I did not have to Google search. Foot worship.
See, these are more like what I would think along the lines of like a fetish, right? Like, and then first of all, I'm simple number 2 right now. This could be bumped to number 1, but like that's a simple man's fetish, you know?
Foot worship is a simple man's fetish. It's so just, true.
I mean, straight to the fucking point, Florida. For all your flaws, you got your kinks right, you know? Like,
foot worship. Nothing like how do you feel about a good foot, Ryan?
Yeah, I could be into. I don't have a massive foot fetish, but I can be into feet. Like, don't get me wrong. I think feet are kind of hot, But like, I don't have, it's not my like number one like fetishy thing, sure. But I do like a good pair of feet. And I think it's kind of hot when like, you know, the feet are thrown in your face sometimes, you know?
Like, yeah, I guess I would say like, if someone had really ugly feet, that would be kind of a turn off. So, you know, there's a certain element of like, oh, okay, like dainty petite feet, or or if you're a man, you're just kind of, I don't know, rough feet. I don't know.
I would like to say I look at my own feet sometimes, you know, I stare at them. But I broke my ankles and they were swollen as like balloons. I was so sad because and now they're back. If you want to see them, or the, you
know. I don't want to show. Put them up to the camera. We can get some money that way. There we go. Look at those toes.
That's I'd be dirty on the bottom. No, they're actually pretty good.
People pay extra for that, right? So foot worship number two. I don't know if
number
like
two, it could be, but we'll see. But like, yeah, it's a easy pick number two. Good
quick,
job, Florida.
Quick note.
Good on you. Like, you know.
Stop complimenting Florida. Quick note around that. I think foot fetish is different than foot worship, just so we're clear. I think a foot worship is like, yeah.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure. I think if you're worshiping something, that implies like sucking, licking, you know, it's a step further than just like enjoyment from afar. You know what I mean?
Foot fetish versus foot worship is what you're comparing, right?
Yes, correct. I
think anyone with a foot fetish is going to be down to like kiss some feet.
I'm not, but like there's difference between like a little smooch, like a mwah, versus foot worship. Like worship, you're licking, you're licking the toe cleavage.
Closer,
Ryan.
Like every time you're like pulling foot fetish and foot worship closer together, you're like little. You know, and
clearly it's a gateway.
Like, no, I don't touch the feet, like, and now you're kissing them, and like, and then next it'll be like, yeah, I mean, you can suck on the toes a little bit, but like, you know, you don't want to get like too like.
Hold on, okay, I'm going on Net Doctor, the beginner's guide to foot fetishes.
Net Doctor.
I don't know. Should I be using a different browser for this? Maybe the beginner's guide to foot fetishes: how to worship feet.
There you go. So they're tied in, right? There's the same article.
Okay, whatever. Okay, from foot jobs to toe sucking, we explore the fabulous underworld of foot fetishes. Like, worshiping probably is steering towards foot jobs and whatnot.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Don't change my mind.
I just want to say, I and not because I'm like, I would tell you if I did. I've never had a foot job in my life. And again, I would be totally, if I had, I would just tell everyone. I don't care. Like,
you got to go back to Hungary by yourself.
I've seen that happen.
Wow. And it didn't.
Yeah, I mean, it does. It just, I think feet can be attractive. I just think it's a good fetish. Like, you know, Florida, you come in with this unweird shit, like Washington, Nevada, fucking California, and like, good on them. Mm-hmm. And,
okay.
They're number two.
Quick note. Okay. So I found specifically what foot worship is. So it's like a subset of the foot fetishes.
Okay.
So foot worship. Many foot lovers simply enjoy the pleasure of washing, stroking, and sucking feet. Hold on. I'm sorry. They also love sniffing, licking, and putting feet in their face. But all these can be included under the foot worship umbrella.
Oh, okay. The foot fetish umbrella.
The foot worship umbrella. Foot worship umbrella.
I think the foot fetish umbrella covers all the other umbrellas.
Well, it does, but a foot fetishist is not the same as a foot worshiper.
I don't think someone who has a foot fetish is going to like hate on someone who likes to feet worship. You know, it falls. If you have a foot fetish,
I'm not saying that
worship.
They are. I'm saying that foot worship is a specific
foot
sect.
Foot worshiper is not going to be on top of the chain, Eric. Like it comes, it starts with a foot fetish and it trickles down.
I just want to make sure it's clear that you're ranking foot worship, not foot fetishes.
Yeah, it's still fine.
Okay, all right, deal. One last one. Your current state of residency, Ryan.
I forgot about the state somehow. I was like, where the fuck is he going? I forgot I lived in fucking Denver. Like,
yeah, you're in the Mile High City. That's why you're so, you know,
it's
out of breath right now.
The lack of oxygen.
Absolutely, that's right. One of your favorites and mine, body modification.
Fuck. Like, it... like what? Again, what type of body? Like, what's a good example of this so I can really judge it?
I mean, I think a very sort of basic example of body modification is like people who get like the implants in their face and stuff to like heighten their cheekbones and stuff. But I think,
like are you talking not like Botox? Are you talking like stuff that actually like kind of
changes the shape and form of their face?
Like a piercing could be an option, or like Botox could be an option, or like
I think if you're
fake boobs could be an option.
Well,
I mean, by the literal, give me fucking real shit where you're going from.
But if you're searching for the fetish of body modification, that's not what you're going for.
Like a pierced clitoris.
Well, you'd probably search for that specifically. Body modification is like its own thing, where you're going to very extreme lengths to modify the look of your body. Like you almost don't look human anymore.
Okay. That's Colorado's thing.
Yes.
Disproportionately to other states.
Yes, that's what this says.
Okay.
So here.
I don't see that guy. I don't do that at all. I do not. I don't even like looking at that guy. Like. I do not. I don't even think a girl like an attractive.
Like
girl
okay. In fact, good. Okay. Here we go. So this guy that I'm looking at right now, he has like the big gauges, which you could even say like a gauge is like a form of body modification. Devin Coyle, friend of the show. He has like the tattoo, like scale tattoos thing that's like green. He clearly has things like little circles. Who knows what they're made out of, but he's got like round pieces in his eyebrow. His tongue is split. He's got the split tongue. That's all body modification. I've seen people who have like crests in their forehead and stuff. These are body modification. Like, sure, breast implants to like a normie.
One thing to note is I think usually you see this. Not to say that like women don't do it too. Like, but you, I mean, Eric, you can Google me a really attractive girl who has some serious body. I usually see with guys. So like, if you can find this, I might like. I'm putting it five. I can see her, but like it's very.
She's not attractive.
Do I need it clearer?
No, you don't. You don't.
Okay. Am I right?
I was doing joke stuff.
Well, she didn't look that. I mean, she looked like fit.
She was not overweight.
She was not overweight. Yeah.
She's not overweight.
Yeah. I would like to see. Like, don't get me wrong. Like. That's cool, but like, I don't know. I would put that five and just bump everything else up.
So, clown, congratulations, clown. You're not the bottom of our list.
Clown could make it number four. Yeah, that's fine.
Wait, what?
Clown can be, or isn't clown four right now?
Yeah, clown's four right now.
Yeah, clown's four.
Or was five? You put it five.
I bumped it up one. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't, Eric. I think next time we do this, I know you probably protected your audience right here with how you use the data, but like, I think we should just go highest fetish in each state.
What, there's 50 states, Ryan. I don't know if you're aware of that. How am I supposed to
pick your funnest five?
The funnest five. I was trying to tie it in.
I take the same states and just use the highest like fetish in each state. That would be like I liked where this went. I'm just saying I would be curious to see what the real fetishes are in each of these states.
Here's the final ranking of Ryan's fetishes. Foot worship. foot worship at one. Foot worship, again, that's Florida. Claws from Washington State, that's two. What was the other one? Decrophilia. Decrophilia from California, that's three. That's crying.
That's a high ranking for decrophilia.
That is really high ranking. Are you sticking with that? Is that still above clowns and body modification?
Yeah, I just don't get the bad. It stays.
I'd rather jerk off to a woman crying than a clown. What if it was a crying clown? That would be quite the conundrum.
I wouldn't even know what to do.
You'd be turned around.
I'd just look at her feet, you know.
Let's finish out this rumpus time with a little segment called Ask the Talent.
Ask the Talent.
We are in, it's not actually summer anymore, Ryan, but we're still going to do the hot takes of summer. We're going to probably do the hot takes of summer. Maybe I won't even call it of summer anymore. Maybe just hot takes. Hot takes, notable events in wrestling history. So last episode, Ryan, we watched a little piece of business where Chris Jericho listed out a portion of his 1,004 holds to illustrate that he was much more better at wrestling than the man of 1,000 holds, Dean Malenko. Well, For this hot take, for this week, I'm doing my best to have it tie in with the following episode's match. Admittedly, I will state this for the record, there's a very, very loose connection between what we're about to watch and our next match, just FYI. But quick rundown, because I know you had a lot of questions. You were kind of unclear about what was happening when we watched the last hot take. So quick rundown before we watch this clip. In the late 1990s, WCW started to fall off a cliff creatively. But one of the bright spots was the emergence of a man named Scott Steiner as a main eventer. Scott Steiner had been around for over a decade, but he really hadn't had the chance to show his personality, which, even judging him by wrestling standards, he was fucking crazy. Steiner was always packed with muscle, but he seemed to take it to another level around 1997, 1998, and along with that cosmetic change, he began to refer to himself with a barrage of nicknames. Big Papa Pump, the Genetic Freak, the Big Bad Booty Daddy, Freakzilla. Now, I'm not going to sit here and accuse anyone of anything, but most people don't put on the amount of muscle that Steiner did without the aid of some supplements. And whatever those supplements were, they seemed to make Scotty a little bit more unhinged than usual. So that leads us to this clip where Steiner delivers an interview that would lead to a real-life two-week suspension for the big bad Booty Daddy.
Just the interview led to a two-week suspension.
Yes, he didn't do anything physically to anybody.
He was speech in this country, Eric.
I thought this was America. But yes, he was suspended. To be fair, he was suspended with pay, but suspended nonetheless for 2 weeks after this interview. The only context I will give you before we watch it, Ryan, Steiner was a bad guy during this promo. So he was a heel. He was a bad guy. The man that he's going to be referencing, Ric Flair, is also a bad guy at this time. They had no on-screen connection, no on-screen rivalry whatsoever. Scott Steiner just felt like sharing. So that's the only context I'll give you. Should we watch this thing?
I'm waiting for a link here.
I will send it to you now.
I'm ready. Yeah.
Ryan doesn't know I'm actually going to send him some footwork worship videos.
I'll be gone for a little bit. I'll be off camera.
Go ahead and hit play whenever you're ready.
I'm ready to go. I'm putting play right now.
Okay. Oh no. This really scares me, Tony.
As you can see, when Big Papa Pump comes to town, all my hooches come around. But it's just a damn shame that we had to leave L.A. and come to this cesspool called Tulsa. But last night when I was kicking it in the booty-o, proving that I was the daddy, that I was the king of the night. But I'm not one to brag. Medeja, Kim, why don't you tell me what it's like to be with the Purple Warrior?
The what?
Papa Pump, you're not just any man between the sheets, honey. Kim, why don't you tell him what he's really like? Oh, that's right. Big Papa Pump's not any just... He's our Superman.
You're damn straight. So this goes to all my freaks out there. Big Papa Pump is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
He's right about Tulsa, Tony. You know what you get when you spell Tulsa backwards, don't you?
I'm done. No.
No, I don't.
Think about it.
Okay.
Now, last week, I was watching TV, and I watched a 53-year-old man come out here who has more loose skin than a Shar Pei puppy come out here and say he's still the man. I seen Ric Flair, number two, the Nature Boy, come out here, who's been the butt end of all the jokes because he's supposed to be the limousine riding, jet flying son of a gun. But I'm saying one time, you should have took a cab and used that money to fix your crooked yellow teeth. So I had to ask myself, if WCW was going to hire the Nature Boy number two, why won't they hire the Nature Boy, the original Nature Boy, Buddy Rogers? Now, I don't know that Buddy Rogers is dead, God rest his soul, but Ric Flair, your career is dead. And I know as he lays 6 feet under, he's still styling and profiling, because when you used your little brain and stole his name, there's one thing you couldn't steal, and that was his class. So when you walked down that aisle last week, I know I wasn't alone, because the people at home, all they did was grab their remote, change the channel to WWF, and watch Stone Cold, a person you and your old friends got fired from here, because you're a jealous old bastard. So Ric Flair, remember this, in this wrestling business, there's never been a bigger ass-kissing, butt-sucking bastard in this business, but also in life, you're the biggest ass-kissing, backstabbing, butt-sucking bastard.
And this is the ultimate rant of all time.
Because WCW sucks. So do you. Me. I'm just going to stand right here in the end. W-O for life.
Like, this is why I still want to let BCU. I went on that kind of rant. He seemed like in the beginning, like more mildly composed. And then at the end, he just went off on this fucking tangent. Like,
I'm pretty sure that that bit at the beginning was like what he was more or less supposed to say.
Yeah.
Even though, to be fair, so for anyone who's not like seen this, like obviously I'll have the audio in there that people can listen to. For anyone who's not seen this, or anyone who maybe haven't watched this in a while, Scott Steiner at the beginning of this promo is decked out head to toe in purple. He's got a gigantic purple top hat on. He's got big puffy purple pants and like a purple jacket on. Scott Steiner never ever wore purple in his life except for this one time, and there's a one point where he calls himself the Purple Warrior, and it's just like, what the fuck is going on?
That wasn't even part of his character.
No, that wasn't part of his fucking character at all. He would always wear shirts that would like did you see how big his fucking arms were?
I was watching his veins the whole time. You could basically see the blood flowing through him.
Yes. He had muscles on top of muscles in places that people don't have muscles. It was fucking wild. So I guess before we dissect it a little bit, what did you think of the promo? Do you have any questions? How would you grade it?
I don't really have any. I just thought, like, again, like, it just got like, I kind of respect that kind of thing, though, where you just like, you're on, you have something to say, right? You're doing a presentation, you're at work, and then you just get really into it and you kind of go off on this tangent. You don't know where you are anymore, you know? Like, you're just saying stuff.
Yeah.
And you're either, I don't know. I liked it. But, like, towards the end of it, he was just saying shit. And he was just talking shit at that point, you know, straight up, like, from his brain to the mouth, like, straight. Like, there was no, you know.
And you could tell that there were points where the synapses in his brain were firing, but his mouth could not keep up with his brain.
I was going to call that out during it, but I was like, oh, just wait till, but, like, you could 100% see that.
Backstabbing, butt-sucking bastard! Like, it's almost painful for him to get the words out at that
right,
point.
Right.
Oh my gosh, yes, he got suspended 2 weeks for that promo because he basically went off the rails and just started fucking calling out Ric Flair for seemingly no reason whatsoever.
So this suspension, was it like a real suspension or was like a kind of a play suspension?
No, it was real.
So, like, that seems insane to me because I've heard, like, motherfuckers talk on this show. And I have heard, like, I've seen worse. I've heard worse. You kind of, you know, you rail against someone like Flair. Like, you know, like,
I don't know if it, and I'm not sure what the cause of the suspension was. It could have been because he was, like you said, he was tearing Ric Flair a new asshole. It could have also been because he was basically saying that nobody was watching WCW and everyone was flipping the channel over to watch Stone Cold on the WWF. That could have also been it too.
But that's wrestling. That's wrestling. Watch the South Park episode. It's all about the theater, you know? And he did. He did. I love that. I love that little speech. I did. I thought it was from the heart. you know, right from the brain to the mouth, and like, you know, his brain to his mouth, you know, like, I don't know.
Sure.
It was a great little ride I was on. It did get a little, like, sometimes it's too much, sometimes it's a little boring in between, but like, yeah, at the end I could tell he was just fucking ranting. I was like, I gotta get, like,
yeah, exactly,
get, like, right into this.
His head's about to pop. Yes.
Yeah.
The other thing I'll mention here, and like, there's a podcast, a wrestling podcast, Deadlock, that I've been listening to over the past like couple weeks or so. And like, they do this thing where they basically line by line go through this promo. So like, I don't want to do a lesser than version of that, but like, arguably one of the best parts of this whole promo. So Ric Flair is known as the Nature Boy. That's his main nickname. There was another guy who was wrestling in like the 50s and 60s, Buddy Rogers. He was the original Nature Boy. He was Nature Boy Buddy Rogers. It's so funny how Scott Steiner is like, I don't know why they hire Nature Boy number two instead of Nature Boy number one, Buddy Rogers. And then,
see, that's a little something I didn't pick up, like, but yeah.
Pregnant pause. Now I know Buddy Rogers is dead, God rest his soul. So he went literally from, how come they couldn't hire Buddy Rogers? Yeah. Oh, wait, that's right. I remember Buddy Rogers is dead. I guess that's why they didn't hire him. But just his, you can see his brain pumping through the veins in his arm. Just a nice encapsulation of Scott Steiner, the man, and what he was all about in late 90s WCW. We have actually watched one Scott Steiner match. It's the it was a tag match. It's the absolute bottom of our list. It's the Steiner brothers versus.
That's the last match. Oh, wow. Okay, yeah.
So, based on,
I could see it being the last. You know,
he was known for a lot of things, but apparently on this program, he's known for having at least a portion of the worst match of all time. So
I don't want to fight him personally. Like, you know, like,
I'll try and arrange for that. I'll try and see if I can arrange. What grade are we giving Scott Steiner on this butt sucking bastard promo?
Well, like, A, B, C, D, F, like,
yeah,
scale, like,
sure. And pluses and minuses, if you're so inclined.
I give it a B+. I really liked it. I mean, I think there's like, you can deserve an A. It's hard to get an A, but like, you know, towards the end, I was like kind of re-getting into it. And I was like, this guy is just fucking saying shit, like, you know, and that's what I love, you know? Yeah. So that's why it gets a B+. It would have been B, but I loved the end. I'll give it a B+. B to nice. B+. Yeah.
And I also like that if you watch like, at least the one of the freaks, Kim, behind him, she clearly has no idea what the fuck's going on. So she, like, even there's points where she's like laughing when his brain is stuttering towards the end of the promo.
You can also tell, like, that girl did not want the mic.
He's a Superman. Yeah, he's good.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much, everybody. That was Rumpus Time. We'll be back next week. New match, new wrestle talk. But if you're not hard, get hard. Once you get hard, stay hard. Rumpus Time is over. Thank you very much.
Eric, I'll tell you a story about my favorite pants.